Well, I want to share a lesson tonight that I believe will encourage you. We are in what we call Black History Month. And in fact, someone joked, you know, and said that Black History Month, they gave us the shortest month. And I found out really it was it was actually Carter G. Woodson who chose that month. Well, it happened to be the birth month of Frederick Douglass. So there's a good reason for February. It's not just that they gave us the shortest month, okay? But the leverage of legacy, I want to just exhort you here for a moment. I want to exhort you tonight because I am aware that I exist. I'm blessed. I'm living a certain lifestyle because of those who went before me. Now, of course, my parents, most immediately, my parents and grandparents, I knew them. Well, didn't know my grandmother, but I knew my grandfather, grandmother on my dad's side, granddad on my mom's side. I actually knew my great-grandmother on my dad's side, all right? Mama Georgia, we called her. And that was a tremendous blessing to actually have had a great-grandparent in your life. Well, now, but there are many people we don't know in our families, in our community. And so we are always very wise to think about the fact that we are a living legacy. We are fulfilling dreams and hopes and plans that were laid for us. Okay. And I'm sure that this is a powerful motivator for us today. Let's talk about this today and go into God's word. We're going to go to let's go to our first scripture, which is Joshua chapter 4, and let's begin here in verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over Jordan. Now, by the way, we were teaching on this somewhat last Sunday, right, in a different context. But he says they crossed over, when they completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you shall take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 6, now, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. All right. Now, let's consider here for a moment this text, because he's telling us, we're reading a story that we know very well. And we, again, talked about last time how Israel faced the Red Sea. That was the first impassable barrier, and they crossed over, but they fell into, they just failed. They just fell apart, really. And so God had to let them, you know, wander and die off in 40 years. Now they're up against another barrier of water, the Jordan River, and God opened up that body of water as well. But the difference was that God prepared the people. So before they crossed over, remember the story was they sent leaders among the people saying, prepare yourself, for tomorrow we'll cross over, right? And then we learn from the book of Deuteronomy that Moses told the people, taught the people about the importance of today, you know, today, hear God's voice today, all these exhortations to focus on today, because looking back, Moses could remember that the people crossed the Red Sea were very happy and joyous, but they weren't trained. They weren't prepared to live in the promised land. You know, it's one thing to get into a promise. It's a different thing to live there and stay there, be victorious in there, right? And so we draw from that very important lesson. So in this story, the instruction was when you cross the dry riverbed, pick up stones, right? Pick up stones and carry them with you to where you're going to camp and put those stones there. Now, why? Well, think about it. You know, it's a powerful thing, because when the river that was normally flowing and whether it was deep or rapid or whatever it was, when that water stacked up, Bible said that he stopped it. They could then see the riverbed. They took rocks from the very place where the water once was, where the priest's feet stood, and they carried those rocks and laid them on the other side. And that was a memorial, right? It was something that God said, do this so you will remember what I did for you. A memorial. We have memorials today. We have, you know, war memorials. We have memorials of 9/11, memorials of, you know, of major events, because we want to remember, right, those events. And I believe it's important we have memorials. We have family heirlooms, right? Certain pictures, certain objects, certain things we have that are important to our families, reminding us that, you know what, you didn't get here by yourself. You didn't make yourself. Others helped make you. Now, you were cooperative, you followed God, but it's not like we made it by ourselves. And so we cherish the things we know help us remember who brought us over, who helped bring us through. Amen? Well, that's what legacy is about. Legacy is many things we'll talk about here in a moment, but among those things, legacy is most importantly that you remember and you know where you came from. You know who helped you. You know who helped make you who you are today. And you don't forget them. I mean, while they're living, and of course, even when they're passed away, we don't forget the people who helped make us who we are. Amen? So I love this story. And again, that text, go back to that scripture. Again, he said there, and the stone shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Well, here, let me go back. It says, so a time will come when they will ask, what do these stones mean to you? I love this, right? Why are these pile of rocks sitting up here in our neighborhood? You know, why are these pile of stones over here stacked up like that? And then, no, let me educate you, okay? And then sit them down and take them through the story of what God did. Because folks act like wherever they are, they've been there. You know, forever. You know, I'm speaking to you from a house up here near north side of town, Devonshire neighborhood. And when I was a kid, well, I didn't know this place existed. It was here. It was here when I was a kid growing up at 34th and Sherman Drive. I didn't know this was up here. I never had been up here before. Okay, I had a cousin who lived off of Forest Manor somewhere, and that was like, wow, big house. But we never dreamed of leaving certain areas. You know, we never dreamed of going out of Hallville and Barrington, you know, and 38th, and even we came to 38th to 34th and Sherman Drive. We were the first black family on my street. And of course, white people began moving out, you know, all that. So I'm saying that to say, we as a people, black folks, we as individuals and families, we've been through stuff. God's been good to us. And so it's good to remember. It's essential to remember where you came from. Amen. And may everybody, even white folk, have their stories too. I'm saying it's all about us. I mean, everybody has a story. And when you lose touch with the legacy that carried you forward, you've lost touch. You've lost yourself. You've lost yourself, you know. There's a Western mindset that goes like this: I think, therefore I am, right? But then there's an African Middle Eastern type mindset that says, we are, therefore I am. And that's something, see, on this side of the world, it's like, I am, there, I think, therefore I am. But yet, Other folks feel like, no, we are. That's why I am, right? And that's more correct. That's more biblical, in fact, that we identify with the community, with family, with God. Amen. All right. Let's talk about the leverage of legacy. I use that phrase. Let me go back to the picture we began the teaching with today. Let's look at this here. This is a picture I believe you've seen before, a famous picture of marchers in civil rights era. It's an amazing photograph. And the credit, I forgot the man who took the picture. I don't have his name here. But if you notice, just look at the people, you know, walking. And what's interesting is the people in the front appear to be leaning back. But what it is, it's the wide-angle lens is distorting it, right? But they have the appearance of gliding, you know what I'm saying? They're kind of gliding forward, and folks are following, and someone's carrying an American flag. You know, black folk have always been patriotic. We've always been, we love country. And so we don't just wave a flag. We believe the flag stands for something, and we intend to stand for what the flag stands for, or insist that we have rights. The point is, this is legacy, right? These are our ancestors. I've got a friend, Brian Carter. You may know of Brian Carter. His dad was a freedom rider. His dad may have been in this march. I don't know if he's in this march, but he had been in marches. He had been on buses. He had been arrested and abused, right? And in fact, his picture is in, there's a, in Memphis, at the Lorraine Hotel Museum, his picture's on the wall there as a freedom rider. So here's the dad of somebody I know, okay? These things are important, and these things are of God. God was in these folk. I'm not saying all of them were saved, but God was in the effort they put forth. So we say legacy, right? We say legacy, and I want you to understand legacy. Let's talk about that here for a moment. Let's go to this slide here. All right, when you have leverage, you hold the advantage in a situation or the stronger position in a task, physical or otherwise. Leverage is like a lever that helps you move something heavy. All right, so first define this word leverage, right? We've heard it before. And so get in your mind that leverage gives you an advantage. Everybody in my generation have gained advantage provided to them by their previous generation. And the same is true for our children and our grandchildren, right? We've helped them come into a position where they're stronger. They can do something better because they've had help to do it. And so now, next point here is the work of Reverend Dr. King and a great number of people who represented, including the Hidden Figures, created positive social legacy for African Americans and for all Americans. Now, I think we understand this, but I wonder sometimes if we do, because we seem like we act like we just got here. We act like we don't have to stand up and continue to speak and love people and insist on justice. We act like we just showed up here, you know, and we get to enjoy everything without the burden of doing anything, you know. So, no, it's not the way it works. Legacy, while we receive benefit and leverage, we also have responsibility to do the same for the next generation, for our current generation, okay? All right. So we appreciate all those. Now, we always say this, Dr. King is the most famous of those folk in that generation, but he represented many other people we call hidden figures who were just as important as him. Now, there's also the problem of leverage being used to manipulate and control, right? So leverage can happen all kind of ways. People leverage assets to buy stuff, or they'll leverage. For example, we have in our government situations where people will leverage their numbers, you know, in a party to force bad or unwanted things on people of a minority party, a lesser party. That's leverage used in the wrong way. Now, we don't always realize it, but we all have leverage or advantage by virtue of living in America. And of course, some people in our country have greater leverage than others, right? Talk about the word, that's where privilege comes up. Well, all of us have some kind of privilege. It isn't just white privilege. I mean, as a black man, I got privileges. I can go places white folk can't go right away. And as, of course, as a pastor, I got a privilege. So let's not make it a bad term to have privilege. The key is, how do you use your privilege, your leverage? How are you using your advantage? That's the key. Is it just for yourself? Just, you know, have advantage and leverage and legacy just so you can have a better and a happier life? I hope not. Not just for that. It's for you to make a difference. Like someone made a difference for you, right? We serve, we've been served to serve others, all right? I like what Earl Johnson has a phrase he used to use in one of his emails. All of his emails had a closing line that said, determined by destiny to serve. Determined by destiny to serve. I like that. That you know, some of us feel like that. I feel like that. We are determined by destiny to serve. And I'm blessed. I get to do good things, enjoy life with my wife and children, grandchildren, all in church and all that. But I'm not just here to enjoy. I'm not a consumer. I'm a producer. You know, our media camp was all about that. My burden was, these kids are just consumers, man. They're watching this, watching that. Let's flip the script. They need to become producers. They're benefiting from legacy of others who produced media. Well, guess what? We'll train you to be a producer, to produce media, or whatever it is in life you want to produce. A lot of kids did not become media people, but they've used that same mindset, right? I'm going to be a producer. Okay. So we all have advantage, leverage or advantage by virtue of living in a country. So just being in America is a bliss. I've been to Africa, you know, several times. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Europe. Been to Canada. Canada's not bad, you know. But I tell you, America's a great place to live, y'all. This is a wonderful place to live despite all the warts and the problems. Let me just take you someplace and bring you back. You tell me if America's a good place to live or not, okay? But then our duty is make it better, a more perfect union, right? That's our objective, make it a more perfect union. Okay, let's go on now. So what is legacy? Let's think about legacy as something handed down from an ancestor or predecessor. My wife and I, we do have a will, a plan for our children, for our grandchildren. If you don't have a will, let me just do this right now. If you've not made provision, right, for others, like you're going to live here forever, then no. I don't care how young you are or old you are, make provision to leave something behind you when you leave here. Amen. And more than that, to manage life while you're yet here and have a more fruitful life and more a life of supply as you get older. So, all right, squeeze that in there. But we think of legacy as something handed down. We don't want the state to come in when we pass away and do probate and tile our stuff up and the court decide where our stuff goes. No, we've already decided because we have a will. We have a plan in place. So the courts can't get in, right? We've already decided and it's been approved by a court what our plan is. So that's a form of legacy, right? But not just that. We also think of legacy as something provided to work with or build on, right? So we want, you know, educators, we teach, we preach, we educate to put people in position to succeed, to prosper, to do well. We've done that as a church. My wife's educator. We have educators in our church, my son. We do that. I've done it many ways with the media camps. Even just how we serve God in the church, watching kids grow up, be successful. That's a part of legacy, okay? Legacy isn't only that someone will follow you doing what you did. That isn't always the case. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But legacy is the work that was done continuing in the people who were benefited by it. Please understand that. And that brings leverage to them. A legacy can be considered something obsolete. Also, you know, think about it's all about legacy software, right? Now we've ran into this sometime where you've got an old computer, or here it is, you know, a newer computer with old software. that won't run anymore, right? Because the new computer was not designed for the old software. And then at some point, companies stop supporting legacy software. There is this sense of obsolescence in legacy. All right, legacy can also be considered as something precious as an inheritance or benefits in life. That's our focus today, right? So we inherit from others things that are precious, not just material things, but values. We inherit understanding of life and how to treat one another, how to treat, you know, how husbands treat their wives and wives their husbands. And I've been married going on 42 years. My wife's parents married over 60 years, and my mom and dad were married 48 years before my mom died. And so we have this legacy of a good marriage and understanding marriage and taking care of each other, you know what I'm saying, and working through issues and problems. Right. So legacy comes all kind of ways. Amen. And that's encouraging, isn't it? Legacy of being generous. You know, we're a very generous church. We're generous people. We love serving and doing things for others. That's a legacy. Right. My mother was that way. My dad's that way now. And I'm that way. So we want to just continue to use the leverage of our legacy to get things done, to help people, to make a positive difference. Amen. All right. It is our responsibility to identify the value of legacy, live the lessons, and build the future on it. That creates our leverage, right? Again, just as Israel, when they crossed the Jordan, were told to carry those stones and stack those up. And when people ask, what are these stones for? They were to instruct them, this is why we're here. These stones are the evidence of God's blessing and help and leverage in our lives. So we tell the stories, live the lessons, build the future on it. Okay. The alternative is starting from scratch without resources. And that's rough. You know, I mean, we've had occasions of starting things, not having much help. And it's much better to start with help, right? To hit the ground running, to have the resources in your hand. You know, I think about my good friend, Dr. Ken Sullivan, whose father passed last week, had a funeral for him on this past Saturday. He founded the church, his son now pastors. So Ken Sullivan Sr. is the bishop of the church now. You know this. So Ken Sullivan Jr., I remember, you know, when Ken told me it was time to set him in, I was a part of the small group that installed Pastor Kenneth Sullivan Jr. and was on his board for a season and helped him. And now he's doing great. And he fully recognizes the leverage of legacy. And while his dad literally had to start from scratch, Ken Sullivan Jr. didn't start from scratch. He started with a whole building and a congregation and everything. He's taking it way higher and further. But the point is, it's really good, you know, to start with something. You know, going from scratch is hard. All right. So that's the leverage of legacy, to help people not have to start from scratch. Help them have a running start. Question or assignment for you: write down 3 to 5 items that relate to the legacy you have received. Right? Write it down. Think about it. I mean, I can think of, I always say this, my mother's compassion for people. I've got that. I have her heart. My dad's work ethic and his ability to solve problems and get things done. I have that too, you know. I think about my love of arts. That came from both parents. I think about music. I'm not a musician, but my grandmother on my mother's side, whom I never knew, she and my granddad, whom I did know briefly, were musicians and singers. And I love music, you know, and I could have been a musician. I've been a musician. The point is, I can think of these things. I could think of the fact living in this house and that we moved to a house, our first home on Gale Street, 34th and Sherman Drive. My dad was going through the paperwork and found the deed to the house. And the deed said, this house may never be sold to Negroes, mulattoes, you know, had a list of people who couldn't have this property. And so here we were, us Negroes, in the house that someone decided we could never have, you know. And I can imagine what, you know, people thought about. Well, again, this is what we dealt with. So then I can think of the fact, I can write down 10 to 15 things, right, that relate to the legacy I have received, the education I have, right? And so all of that, write it down, think about it, because you need to understand where you came from. You need to be appreciative of what God has done in your life. Now, here's a point that we don't often think about in the Black community, but it's so very important. Academic excellence is most certainly a legacy of African-American culture. See, that doesn't pop into our mind. It should, though. We think of things like hip-hop. You know, hip-hop, in my opinion, is not African-American culture. Hip-hop is a marketing thing. Hip-hop is a marketing strategy. Now, it's become part of the culture, but it's not historic. There's nothing significant about it, really. Between 1861 and 1900, more than 90 institutions of higher learning were established. But between abolition of slavery and Reconstruction going on, we had this tremendous surge of education interest. And so Black folks started schools and birthed schools from churches and all this. Universities and colleges have grown from that. We had 90 of these by the turn of the century. Good public policy established by federal government were responsible for this leverage of legacy. Now, we do know that when slavery was abolished, it was the President Abraham Lincoln who ordered federal soldiers to go into the South and protect the rights of Black folk. And so we had Black folk being elected. We had one became an official, I think a governor in Louisiana. But then once President Lincoln was assassinated, and then Andrew Johnson followed him, he reversed a lot of what Abraham Lincoln did, pulled the troops out of the South. And then that Jim Crow, the backlash started. Jim Crow laws, backlash started, lynchings, all the rest, okay? And so that progress was somewhat reversed, but not erased, all right? Point is, we understand the power and the leverage of legacy. And if you don't understand it, well, get my book, first of all, Biblical Justice. I talk about history told from a correct perspective. But please appreciate that God has put us in position both through the work of Jesus Christ and the work of people he had inspired to make a difference. Amen. The leverage of legacy is carried forward by learning and teaching our children and others to how to love and serve God by remembering all he has done. Yeah, that's my last point today. Yeah, you know, there is no legacy going forward without first learning and then teaching others, our children and others, how to love and serve God, remembering all he has done. And that would be all the Bible stories, the stories of what God's done in our lives, our society, our families. You know, there is a present day, I've seen a present day sort of a surge with people saying that basically all you need is Jesus and the scripture, you'd be fine. And there are people coming out against, you know, critical race theory, saying we don't want our children taught that, when all it is was an inquiry from 40 years ago about what were the impacts of laws and legislation on people. I mean, people understand so much, and yet they assume to understand. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians are so-called Christians are at the forefront of these movements that are really white supremacists in substance. And yet, we know that what Rosa Parks did, Dr. King, again, all of the hidden figures all through our history, I believe God was inspiring them and using them to help us all. And so it isn't always a scripture in the Bible, right? But it's a biblical principle of love and freedom and blessing and prosperity. That's what God wants for all people, but especially those who love him and choose him. Amen. All right. So I want you to think about these things in closing here today. I want you to be appreciative of what God has done, what he's doing, what he shall do. Okay. And on the shall do part, make sure you are part of it. Be intentional about teaching and educating and helping others, especially your own children, grandchildren, family members. Ignorance is a real curse. And we have the opportunity nowadays to erase ignorance. We have all the resources we can ever need to educate and tell the story and tell it right. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you. And I appreciate the opportunity to be on with you today.